Hey friend, really excited for this Portfolio Career Podcast episode with Krish Jagadar. Special shout out and thanks to productivity leader Chris Sparks for bringing us together. Chris can be found at Sparks Remarks on Twitter and Instagram and theforcingfunction.com. In this conversation, Krish and I talk about how fortunate he was with his first job at Dom & Tom, a product agency that works with Fortune 500 companies here in New York City. He mentions that he already had some existing real-life skills through projects in college that were extremely useful for him at Dom & Tom. Krish talks about how he's working on multiple different projects now, including being a venture partner at Brand New Matter, a strategic advisory and venture firm here in New York City. He talks about how important it is to tell people what you are doing, what you say, and also how you say it, because he has a helpful joke on this episode about it, and one that can be found on his Twitter at Krish Jagadar. As such, one of his projects started simply as helping a friend, and then another friend, and then it was an idea and solution that spread through word of mouth, and it is now the foundation for his portfolio career lifestyle. So we talk about key skills and areas for you to build and grow your portfolio career. And as always, let me know what you think.
Cool.
Welcome to the podcast, Krish.
Thank you.
Your host, David Nabinsky, is here with Krish Jagadar. So it's Saturday. And if we were to go to an event tonight, how would you introduce yourself?
It's a good question. I think that for me, I mean, it has a lot to do with kind of what type of event it's going to be, who's going to be there, and, you know, what my quote-unquote biggest need is at the given time, right? Just because when you're working on 3, 4, 5 different things, it's about kind of knowing who you may potentially meet and, you know, how that could potentially help you with your cause, your mission, et cetera. So in the case, I knew I was going to this, like a technology event or, you know, startup tech networking-based event, I might introduce myself as a venture partner over at Brand New Matter Ventures. Or in the case that I'm, you know, in the need for more connections for my online gambling project, I might describe myself as, you know, leading a team working on this online gambling project in the blockchain space. A joke of mine is that, you know, everyone has a friend that could help you. And depending on how you phrase yourself, you're going to lead down a different path. So to say that, you know, I am this, and then, I also do that, or I also do that, you know, that can kind of fray conversations and, so you have to kind of choose wisely, I guess.
And what's the joke again? It seems very helpful. Not necessarily a joke.
Basically, the idea is that, like, you know, we're in New York City, and in New York City, it's not one of these super homogeneous environments where everyone's in tech or everyone's in healthcare, like you might have in San Francisco or like somewhere like Atlanta. So the thing is that, like, you know, when I'm with my friends last night, you know, one of them's an accountant, the other one's a fitness trainer, another one's in engineering, another one is, you know, in the music industry, right? So the thing is that we all have such kind of diverse relationships as opposed to, like, oh, yeah, he's in tech and he's a product manager here and he's in advertising at Google. So over here, all of a sudden, you know, you're meeting someone or I'm meeting somebody and I say, oh, I'm, you know, working on an online gambling project. They say, oh, you got to talk to my buddy Anton. You know, his family's been doing this for years, right? And so it's those types of things where if I had said I was a venture partner at Brand New Matter, I would have never got that kind of introduction or the potential for that introduction. So, you know, because of that, again, how I choose to kind of introduce myself changes depending on kind of where I am, right? If I'm going to like a fashion event or something more in the entertainment space, I talk about the social media work that I do, where essentially I'm, you know, working with a lot of different types of influencers to grow their brand. And I'm, you know, not mentioning the venture stuff or the gambling stuff, right? Because it's about that congruence.
How did you get to this kind of point where you had multiple projects going, and was there a key moment till you got there?
You know, I think everything kind of snowballs. So as long as you, as an individual, enjoy doing work, right? Where you actually get pleasure and, like, kind of you're having fun by doing things and by making things happen, it's a natural process. So there's this guy named Shane Mack. I remember a long time ago he had this quote, which is like, what you do outside of work determines what you will do next. And I remember I was 20 and I was just like, okay, that's really, really interesting. So like, again, when I was in college, I was like the kid who always had like a startup on the side. So like I'm going to school and then like on Saturdays, I'm like in my bed, like, you know, working on, you know, intern work for free, you know, like all that kind of stuff for all these little startups in New York City. But that's what led to saying, oh yeah, I can do this, or I can do that, I can do this, I can do that. And yeah, so I was always just kind of taking on projects, just kind of trying things, discovering what I liked, what I didn't like, what I was good at, what I wasn't. And, you know, so like, for example, the social media stuff was something that I was just doing to help friends, where I'm like, I think I can do this. I have a handle on how social media works. I can understand kind of how to grow accounts. So I started doing that for a friend, and then I did it for another friend, and then a friend told a friend, and then I charged that second person, and then that second person told three people, and then all of a sudden, you know, next thing you know, you have a business on your hands, and it just started to percolate. And then all of a sudden you say, hey, there's something here, let's run with it. And now all of a sudden it's a fairly significant business. And that's what really gave me the freedom to essentially detach myself from really any kind of one job or like one source of income. And it allows me to explore multiple avenues or multiple opportunities, you know, without having to do the whole nights and weekends type thing.
And that was just from starting something that you were helping a friend out?
Yeah,
and
that's how, I mean, again, like, you know, everyone needs something. Everyone needs help. Everyone's working on something, right? And, you know, no one is this kind of perfect, you know, kind of machine where they're just they know how to execute on every single facet of a business, right? So there's these like Fiverr ads in the subway right now, which is like, it says, I'm a CEO and I know jack about SEO. Right. and the thing is, but that's true. Right. So the thing is, you know, who couldn't benefit from, you know, some sort of SEO service? A lot of people can benefit from it. So I think the idea is that you find people that need help in some kind of way. You find out how you can help them. You get, you know, effective at it. You increase your efficacy with regard to kind of executing. And then now all of a sudden you have a case study. And then with that case study, with that kind of vote of confidence, you feel comfortable to actually go out and do this more and more professionally, right? So, yeah, I mean, do work for free and then, you know, get good at it and then start charging people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's especially when people start marketing and telling other people on your behalf without even have a website or...
Totally. No, my social media business, I don't have a website. I run it extremely, extremely informally. I have, I'd say, probably about 100 plus clients now. And it's been all word of mouth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Within the different projects, is there certain skills or certain like frameworks that you look at to say, I'm gonna be good at this, or I like this, or this is something that I want to learn from? How do you start to, like, if you meet somebody new and maybe it's a little bit different than how you introduced yourself, like, is there a certain kind of like mental model that you think about for potential new projects?
Yeah, I think that when it comes to, you know, different projects, different needs that, you know, someone may have, and again, I feel like we're talking about this as if I was to come into a project where someone needs help in some sort of way. I think the first thing to, you know, you need to do is really kind of assess what do they need help with, and can you kind of provide that solution to them? Like, so like, what is it actually? You know, is it product help? Is it operations help? Is it just general kind of refining how someone's thinking about a particular business? Is it really just kind of even just like something like goal setting, right? Like, you know, understanding kind of, again, like I said, everyone has different kind of needs. No one's perfect at everything. You can have a finance guy who's amazing at the, you know, the unit economics of the business, has no idea how to market. You have a marketing guy who knows how to, you know, gain, you know, significant distribution, but has no idea how, like, how to make the business make sense from a dollars and cents perspective. So understanding where gaps are with regard to the kind of overall organization and how you can kind of slot yourself in to provide value. Obviously, you know, there needs to be a match up in terms of like what you're actually capable of and what you actually enjoy doing and what they need.
Yeah. And then, so it seems like you had a very, at Dom and Tom, you had a very interesting role there in terms of, you know, combining sales and tech. Maybe talk a little bit more about that role and maybe some key skills that you learned there that always look to. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got super, super lucky to have my first job be at Dom and Tom. So again, Dom and Tom is a top tier design and development firm based here in New York City. So, you know, at the age of 22, I was working with both, you know, really, really interesting startup founders who had ideas on that they wanted to bring to market. This is right around the time that, you know, mobile applications and mobile development really starting to take form. And then simultaneously, we were also working with, you know, Fortune 500 companies. So, you know, here I am 22 years old and they just needed cheap labor. You know, they didn't want to hire someone, you know, super, super senior. And they're like, we want someone we can train up. So I was lucky enough to get that job. And it had a lot to do with, again, going back to the idea of, you know, doing that intern work in college, right? Because I had a degree in finance and I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, I'm like, hey, look at the stuff that I was doing outside of work. And that's kind of what got me the job at Dom & Tom. And so, you know, at Dom & Tom, I, you know, worked under this guy named Drew, who's, you know, their VP of sales and marketing. And he taught me everything I knew about, like, technology, how does it work? How do you write product specification documents? How do you sell software, you know, to individuals that want to buy software or buy software development? And the interesting thing about it is that the company was, at the time when I joined, 20 people, right? So we're 20 people, one office in the East Village. So it was really one of these kind of all hands on deck type things. You have people in the sales department, you have people in the, you know, product and product management department, and then the actual design and engineering departments. But the thing is that if we were short on a resource for with regard to like project management or product management, I would get slotted in, right? So the thing is that like working at a small company really gave you a very kind of wide, I would say wide accessibility to all these different types of roles. So as opposed to just kind of, you know, working at a Fortune 500 company where, you know, you are in charge of something very, very specific. Here, you know, whatever you're interested in, they'll give you a shot to do it just because they need people. And if you can be multiple different roles, if you can be like four people in one, that's valuable to a company because that's one, two, three less people that they need to hire to do something. So they really gave me the opportunity to not only grow in a sales capacity, but grow in a product strategy capacity, grow in a product management capacity, grow in an operational capacity. Because one, they needed it, and two, I wanted to do it.
Mm.
So all of a sudden, it was just a really, really great fit that allowed me to gain a really kind of 360 kind of view of, you know, the product development life cycle, you know, selling complex contracts, all these different types of things that, you know, you normally don't get when you're in a, like a very siloed position. So in a lot of ways, I credit a lot of kind of where I am and the opportunities that I've been able to kind of attain to date to that kind of very amorphous job role.
Mm. That's amazing. It seems you probably didn't see that when you first, you know, you saw the role, you know, posting in terms of what it would turn into, but then it really worked out and you got all this experience. Are you seeing, you know, other types of jobs, or are you able to give some examples of other types of roles like that that can give you a lot of different skills and opportunities to really learn?
Roles. Look, I think anything in a, like a, I don't know if it's roles as much as it is, again, like kind of size of organization. Because as companies grow, the only way that they can grow effectively is if they grow smart, right? So a 22-year-old kid joining Dom & Tom today, which is now a 10-year-old company with 100 plus employees, three offices, and, you know, you wouldn't get the opportunity to do what I did. Now they actually have a lot more structure, right? You'd be a sales coordinator, and then you'd be like an account executive, then you'd be an account manager, and then you'd, like, again, there's all these things. Before it was just two guys, it was Drew and me. And that's actually why when I'm talking to people about job roles, et cetera, I was actually with someone yesterday who's a consultant at IBM. And, you know, we were talking about the kind of differences in the work that I do and the work that she does. And it's so much more structured because it has to be. In order to operate effectively, you need structure in place. So I tell people often, if you want that, again, amorphous, all hands on deck, get a taste of everything, you know, work at smaller companies. Because at larger companies, that organizational structure that's needed, you know, Series B and on, you know, will not provide you with that 360 kind of experience, so to speak. You know, you'll have a specific job role. You are an account executive and you need to do $1 million in sales this year. and we don't care if you have an interest in product strategy. That's not what you're here for. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's completely fine. Just, you know, that's just the reality of it, right? If you talk to that same founder who just said that to you 2 years, 3 years prior, I'd be like, yeah, sure, you can shadow me. Or yeah, sure. Like, you know, we can try your hand and see how you like it, because they need someone like that. Managerial leverage is so critical at the seed and series A stage, as opposed to series B and beyond, where it's about structure. Mm.
So you have a very specialized generalist, or, you know, accomplished generalist background. And I remember we had a recent conversation about, you said there's kind of like every business has three main core needs, kind of sales, operations, and product. Is that?
I would say so.
Are you able to kind of expand upon that a little bit more? And
yeah, for sure. At the core of it, really, any business at the end of the day, you know, boils down to two things. One is, how good is the product and how good is the distribution, right? You can have the best product in the world and have no way to distribute it, you'll fail. You can have a great distribution channel and a poor product, and you'll also fail. And so the need to kind of cover these two bases initially are kind of considerable, because that's really how you set the foundation for a business. As an individual working in an organization like this, it's important to understand where you fit in, to whether it's in sales or whether it's in product, right? I talked to so many people who are like, oh yeah, like I have like so many ideas and I want to be like the idea guy, and then other people execute it. It doesn't work like that, right? The people that are designing products or thinking about products oftentimes are seeing through the execution, right? They're involved with the product management, the product strategy, the actual execution of the designs or the development, whether that's hardware, software, a widget, a hoverboard, you know, a mobile app, doesn't really matter. And then there are people that are really focused on the distribution, right? So that could be anything from, you know, if you're a B2B company, cold calling and cold emailing, you know, having a contact one where you're introducing the product and setting the table for the next meeting where you're talking about the deal. And, or again, it's something where it's running Facebook ads or in calculating return on ad spend or even the return on investment for a particular channel or using an influencer, et cetera. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that, like, trying to be everything is really, really tough. It's important to have some sort of specialization, but understanding, again, the distribution or the sales as components as well as the product components are critical. And then later on, once you've nailed down these two areas, operations are really where there's a lot of opportunity to be had, right? Because it's with operations and the actions of operations that allow you to increase your top line and decrease your cost, right? Both of these actions will increase your profit, right? Mm. Which is really what operations is all about.
Yeah. And as you're kind of thinking about those areas and in your work, is there certain things that you're looking to like gain a little bit more mastery or specialize and or either tools or tactics that, you know, you like to really sharpen some of those skills? Mm-hmm.
So I think the interesting thing, again, it's like one of these things where I'm going to contradict myself, right? It's like we all start off being something, and it's really no choice of our own. And it's a silly situation for, you know, we as humans to kind of be in. It's like we graduate from college, most people, right? We're 22 years old, and we're just desperate for a job. Like, we'll do anything. Like, you'll hire me? Like, great. Like, what do you need me to do? And even so, it's like when a 19-year-old chooses to be an accountant, like, it's not like they're like, oh yes, the life of a CPA is, you know, sounds, you know, nice to me. It's like we make a decision to do something, and now all of a sudden the next 20, 40 years of our life are devoted to this decision that we made when we were in college and or when we were 22 years old and we took our first job. So for me, again, super, super fortunate to have been given a job at Dom & Tom, I was a sales guy. You know, that was my role. I didn't mention it earlier, but like the role that they were initially hiring for was a social media person. And then all of a sudden, like the job offer came in and it said I was an account executive. Like, I was like, all right, yeah, sure. What does that mean? Right. And they're like, oh, well, you're going to help with the, you know, the conversion of prospects into actual clients. And I'm like, okay, great. And the thing that I realized was that, like, and I realized this thing that I'm saying early on is that, like, if I just continued doing sales, I would, like, today you'd be talking to a sales guy, right? And it's just because you keep doing what you're doing. You do sales here, you get good at it, you get another job offer somewhere else, you do sales there, and then you just keep doing sales. And it's all because your first job out of school was as a sales guy. You could have been a product manager out of school and you would have done product management at company A, company B, company C. For me, I didn't want that. I didn't want to be pigeonholed into a particular role. It was really important to me to have the flexibility and that variety where I could walk in and be like, yeah, I've managed, you know, products from, you know, conception all the way through deployment a number of times over and over and over again, as much as I've done, as much as I can say I've done $1 million in sales this way, that way, etc. So working at that small company gave me the opportunity to say, hey, I also want to do product management. I also want to do product strategy, because I didn't want to, you know, have to go to a particular company one day and be like, okay, yeah, it looks like you only do sales. Why do you want to do product management? Well, I'm interested in it. It's like, all right, well, we need someone that has experience doing this. So for me, I've been, again, through the latter half of my career, and say that in quotes because I've been working for 6 years, I've been really, really focused on developing my skills as a product manager and a product strategist, just because I think that, again, going back to it, distribution, sales, and then product are really the kind of two key areas for really any business, doesn't matter what you do. So, you know, for me to do that, I'm constantly, again, just reading about product management, product strategy, et cetera. And again, there's so many frameworks that you can like read about and learn about, et cetera. But then the second aspect is actually doing it, right? Like, you can read all you want, but like I said, taking on opportunities outside of work, all these different types of things, where you say, yeah, I'll do this. And like, here's how I would do it. And, you know, being an autodidact to a certain level and just kind of finding people who give you a shot is really what allows you to kind of build out those reps, right? You do it once, you do it small. Right, next time you take a little bit of a bigger chunk, so on and so forth, etc. And the next thing you know, you have the capability and you developed it.
And then I'd love to learn a little bit more about any other, you know, new projects that you're working on. You mentioned the online gaming. You know, what is something that you're really excited about right now that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, so for me, I have kind of quote unquote four-ish jobs is the way that I look at it, or five-ish, I should say. So there's, you know, my kind of role as a venture partner at Branding Matter Ventures, where I'm, you know, helping the team essentially build out the kind of investment process, sourcing deals, et cetera. Then there's the social media role, where I'm working with different brands to essentially grow their presence on various platforms. Then I do essentially consulting work, where I'm helping firms, especially early stage companies, identify their path forward. How do they actually execute on a business now that they've launched a product? What are the commercial goals? How do they achieve them, et cetera? So these are kind of the revenue generating businesses, right? And these businesses, again, don't require ridiculous amounts of time. And they are very siloed in their ways, where they give me the opportunity to spend time, again, during the day, not like a nights and weekends type thing, right? On these kind of passion projects I have. So one of the projects that I'm working on is in the online gambling space. It's really bring a new breed of casual gaming to the space, because when you look at gaming, I mean, it's going through a real renaissance right now due to the introduction of things like blockchain and cryptocurrency, et cetera. And then simultaneously, this entire kind of market of like online gamblers were like created through that like last cryptocurrency craze, where you had like kids who never play like poker or like blackjack or like you never step foot in a casino and saying like, yeah, I'm going to put $5,000 into this like random altcoin and then just like it'll go up 20%, it'll go down 20%, and like they don't care. They just want, you know, kind of became very, very comfortable with that. So I think you can see a really, really kind of big boom in the kind of overall market opportunity for the online gaming space. So for me, I want to bring a new style of gaming to the market that's not like these like green felt, blackjack, poker, sports betting. I want to, you know, bring something new and exciting that's for people that aren't conventionally online gamblers. And then beyond that, I am working on a security token offering in the asset management space. So basically a stablecoin, or think of it as more of a fund, not so much a stablecoin, but more of a fund that's tied to long-term public equities that people who, you know, could normally never invest in like a private equity fund or a hedge fund can now invest as little as $100 into a token. So these are like my four projects, again, four to five projects. Two of them purely passion and kind of non-revenue generating, but hopefully one day, you know, they will be. And it's these, the kind of the former group of kind of roles that I have that allow me that kind of one, you know, pay for my life, allow me to live, but then two, kind of afford me the flexibility to work on these things as I need them.
Okay. And then if people want to support you and help you out, what's the best way to?
Well, like I said, I think that, you know, everybody has a friend that can help. And again, for me, like, I'm sure there's plenty of people that I know that, you know, they're just my friend Joe. So I love to just kind of keep in touch with people and expand my network, chat with people about what they're working on, what I'm working on, and how we can be helpful to one another. I would say the best place to get in touch with me is on Twitter. You know, my Twitter handle is my name. So I'm sure that, you know, people could find me if they needed to or wanted to, and I'd be happy to speak to anyone that is interested in speaking.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate it, Krish. And thanks so much.
Of course. Thank you for having me.